are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Oh, what a time it is for Big Ten basketball. Two final weeks left of this regular season. So on today's State of the Program episode, we check in with two teams playing some of their finest basketball all season long at the perfect time. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Locked On Big Ten podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Stevens. It is Tuesday, February 23rd, and that means it's a State of the Program. Two teams in the Big Ten Conference on two lengthy winning streaks, and both teams inside the AP Top 10. We will talk about the ninth-ranked Iowa Hawkeyes coming up later in the show, but first, we talk about the team ranked fifth in the country, the Illinois Fighting Illini, who, in my opinion, might be playing some of the best basketball, not only in the Big Ten Conference, but all around the country as well. So joining me to talk all things Illini is Brandon Simberg, back on the podcast. He's a men's basketball beat writer for the Daily Illini there on campus in Champaign, covering everything you need to know about the number five ranked team in all of the country. Brandon, great to have you back on the podcast.
Yeah, Ben, it's great to be back. You know, like you said, things are looking up in Champaign. A, the weather is a lot nicer today and a lot warmer than it has been in previous weeks. But B, the basketball team, seven straight wins. You know, that in the Big Ten this year, that is an accomplishment. So, yeah, things are looking up for them for sure.
Yes, Brandon, like you mentioned, Illinois on a seven-game winning streak, the longest current streak in the Big Ten Conference as it stands right now. Do you think this is the best brand of basketball the Illinois Fighting Illini can play?
That's a really good question, because if you asked me before the Northwestern Nebraska game, I would have, or after the Northwestern Nebraska game, I would have said no, because, you know, they didn't really blow those teams out. I thought they were lucky to win the Nebraska game. It took some huge moments from Io at the end, and Northwestern, they got an early lead, but let them come back into the game. And that's not something you can do in March. But the Minnesota game, I think that was their best 40 minutes of basketball this year. I mean, Ben, you know as well as anyone how good Minnesota is at the barn. And I know Gabe Kalischer was out and Liam Robbins was a little banged up, but to beat Minnesota by 31 at their own court, you know, they had 27 assists on 37 field goals. Io notched another triple-double. They were dunking the ball left and right, playing fast, playing in transition. That's who they want to be. And when they play like that for 40 minutes, they're really hard to stop. And yeah, so I think that maybe, you know, they have to keep that going this week, as they have three games against some pretty good teams. You know, Michigan State is keeping their season alive, Nebraska, who gave them troubles, and then at Madison on Saturday, another place that's not easy to play. So they have to keep this up, but that 40 minutes against Minnesota was the best 40 minutes I've seen from that team this season.
And the only knock you really can have against the Fighting Illini so far this year is that they've allowed teams to sustain some runs against them and get back into games like we saw against Northwestern last week. But that 40 minutes of play, in my mind, in a top five matchup against Minnesota at the barn, was as impressive as you will see around the Big Ten Conference. And a guy that had a spectacular day, Io DeSumo, as he has in a lot of games recently, his second triple-double in four games, 19 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. Brandon, as you well know, in the 115-year history of Illinois men's basketball, prior to Io DeSumo in these past four games, there was two triple-doubles. In the last 2 weeks, Io DeSumo has posted two triple-doubles. And so the conversation starting to surround the Big Ten Conference is, who is the rightful Big Ten player of the year? Can you make a pitch for Io DeSumo over Luka Garza?
Yeah, I can certainly make my IO pitch. You know, I go back and forth, but my IO case is that I think winning matters. And right now, Illinois is ahead of Iowa in the standings. They beat them head to head. You know, if they finish higher than Iowa, I think you have to give it to the player that helped this team gain more success. You know, I don't think Garza is necessarily playing with worse teammates or anything. You know, Joe Wieskamp has been on fire, and Iowa and Illinois were supposed to finish atop the league. So if Illinois finished a second and Iowa finishes fourth, I think you have to reward it to the winning player. And Luka's numbers have been better offensively, but as we all know with Iowa, their downfall is their defense. And I'm not blaming their entire defensive issues on him. They have a lot of issues defensively, but the thing that can make up for defensive lapses is a really good rim protector. And he's just not that. So I think, you know, his inability to protect the rim hurts them defensively, where Io isn't Illinois' best perimeter defender. That belongs to Trent Frazier. He's not even their most multidimensional. You know, Demonte Williams is the guy that they'll throw on multiple guys. But Io is a solid defender who you trust to guard his man and shut down his man. So I think when you look at their overall impact on both ends and winning, I think that's kind of where Io can separate himself from Luka Garza.
I really appreciate these arguments. I welcome watching Io Dosunmu, obviously. I'm just grateful we get to see both Luka and Io playing at this high quality level of basketball right now. I'm on record saying, though, it's still Luka Garza's to win. He will be the Big Ten Player of the Year and the National Player of the Year. That's just my stance. Another stance that I have, Brandon Simberg, is that I think Illinois is the team best suited, even with how well Michigan is playing right now, out of the Big Ten Conference to make a deep run in March. What is your argument there? Do you agree? Do you disagree? What are your thoughts on Illinois being the best team in the Big Ten?
So when they play like they did against Minnesota, I think that's the team with the highest ceiling. But I think they've struggled with these inconsistencies throughout the year. And when they play like they did against Nebraska or Northwestern, you know, you're in round two or the Sweet 16 against a team that, no offense to Nebraska or Northwestern, but is better than them.
It's fair. It's very fair.
I don't know if you can sustain that. And, I think they, a lot of times they need Io to bail them out, where when I look at Michigan, not only do they win against the teams they're supposed to beat, they blow teams out. You know, like Rutgers end up being within 10 points, but that was Michigan's first Big Ten game within single digits since their Big Ten opener against Penn State. So Michigan is taking care of business. They don't have the star maybe that Illinois does or the two stars, but I like their depth. I like their balance. I like the stuff that Juwan Howard runs. And I don't think they're going to beat themselves or come out flat. They've shown they can beat teams below them. So I think at their peak, Illinois has a better case to go further, but are they going to play like that for six games? I wouldn't bet on it. It's March. It's hard. So I'll take the team with maybe the higher floor in Michigan as the team I think that's best suited to make a run out of the Big Ten.
The consistency we have seen out of Michigan time and again, we saw it on Sunday late against Ohio State as well. Their ability to close out games is why Michigan only has one loss this year. Thankfully, we get Michigan and Illinois a week from today on Tuesday night, March 2nd. So as we focus on what Illinois has before that Michigan game, like you mentioned, Brandon, three games this week, Michigan State tonight. They go to Nebraska on Thursday, or they play against Nebraska on Thursday, and then Wisconsin this weekend. What do you make of this crucial stretch in the final 2 weeks of this Big Ten regular season?
Yeah, so the Nebraska game is their last home game. They got to be road dogs, road warriors, and they embrace that. They have this mantra, road kill. Like, they like playing on the road and winning another team's gym, but they're going to have to bring it on the road and against a lot of teams that are going to want to knock them off. You know, they see Illinois playing well. They see that Illinois is hot. That's a huge win for a lot of these teams that are looking to improve their tournament resume. You know, I'm kind of scared of the Michigan State game because that team, you know, a win like that, they're firmly in the NCAA tournament discussion. And I can almost see it now, you know, Michigan State pulls off the upset. You got the Tom Izzo, Mr. Marsh tweets on the timeline. You know, I feel like that's totally something within the horizon. Or Wisconsin, another really tough place to play. And they haven't looked great, but they, again, could use a win to kind of improve their seed, as I don't think they've played great recently. So a lot of teams are going to be giving Illinois their best effort, because for those teams that are trying to improve their seed in March or get into the tournament like Michigan State, Illinois is a huge game to win.
Yeah, Illinois, for whoever plays them late in this Big Ten season, that will be a quad one win if you are able to knock off the Illini. Right now in Big Ten basketball, for the Illinois Fighting Illini and even the Iowa Hawkeyes, who we'll speak with later in this episode, things are working really well right now. They don't need to make any changes. They don't need to put in any new parts. I think you see where I'm going here. But if you do need to do that, you can always go to rockauto.com for their convenient self-service to find whatever you need for your car or truck, because rockauto.com is a family-run business serving auto parts customers online for more than 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And when you're there, you will find everything you need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. You don't have to leave your house. You don't need to go into a store. You can find everything that you need for your car or truck delivered directly to you. It is so simple, so convenient at rockauto.com. And best of all, at rockauto.com, the prices are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On, LOCKED space O-N, LOCKED space O-N. And their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you here from the Locked On Podcast Network. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. Things are going well for Illinois. Things are going well for Iowa. We're in the home stretch of Big Ten basketball. I'm feeling good. Let's hit the jingle hard one time. All the parts your car will ever need. Rock Auto, rockauto.com. On this Tuesday State of the Program show, we're covering everything you need to know about the Big Ten Conference overall, but specifically the Illinois Fighting Illini and the Iowa Hawkeyes coming up in just a little bit. So what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. I hope you enjoyed my appearance on yesterday's Locked On Today talking about this Big Ten Basketball Conference. So subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your favorite shows. On this Tuesday, the State of the Program about Illinois continues. So let's focus on tonight's matchup against Michigan State. Our good friends at betonline.ag have the Illini as a 7-point road favorite. So that roadkill mentality traveling with Brad Underwood's company. What do you make of this game tonight against the Spartans?
Yeah, like I said, I feel like this is like the kitchen sink game for Michigan State and the game where they start to turn things around. And I've been low on Michigan State all year. Like, I didn't really buy into them when they were top five, and I don't love their roster, but the way they were able to come back against Indiana and save their season, because if they lost the Indiana game, I don't know if we would be talking about them as a potential tournament team. So the way they're able to come back and save their season would have me a little scared if I was Illinois. In terms of X's and O's, if I was constructing a player who I wanted to guard a guy like Io, he would look a lot like Aaron Henry, you know, a big, physical, strong wing. So that concerns me a bit. I do think Kofi Coburn is going to have a huge game inside. He has a huge size advantage there. And, you know, the role players will have to continue to hit shots like they have been. So I think Illinois is going to win, but I think this is going to be a really close game.
After Michigan State, they host Nebraska, then Wisconsin this weekend, and then the final week of the regular season is very difficult. Both Michigan and Ohio State to end out the year for Illinois when it comes to regular season competition. And as we look at the Big Ten standings right now, Illinois in second, about a game or so behind, depending on how the winning percentage plays out, behind Michigan. Do you think next Tuesday's affair will decide who is the top spot in the Big Ten Conference?
I don't, because Michigan is two games up in the loss column, and I don't see them losing two games. Again, I'm coming on here. I know I cover Illinois, but I'm pretty high on this Michigan team. So,
That's why we appreciate your perspective.
I just don't see them losing two more games. And I feel like Illinois has at least one more loss in them. So I think it'll be a great game. Illinois fans were upset when that game initially got postponed, but hey, last week of the season, you get to play the two top other teams in the league. Like, in March, not much more I think you can ask for. So I don't think it's going to decide the Big Ten, but it's definitely a game I think Illinois can win, and it's going to be an awesome game. That is the game I'm most looking forward to the rest of the way.
As it stands right now, Michigan 11-1 in Big Ten play. That's a 917 winning percentage. Illinois 12-3 in Big Ten play. That's an 800 win percentage. Still have to wait for the mandate from the Big Ten League office exactly how it might shake out in terms of deciding the Big Ten regular season champ. It seems like winning percentage will be the key, but we still have a couple of weeks here to figure out everything in terms of the outcomes on the actual hardwood. Brandon Simberg bringing the great insight and analysis as he always does. He works for the Daily Illini right there on campus in Champaign. Brandon, we appreciate your insight, your analysis, and everything on the State of the Program about Illinois basketball.
Ben, it's always a pleasure to come on.
So Illinois has won seven straight games. Another team in the Big Ten Conference that's on a nice winning streak as of right now is the Iowa Hawkeyes. And welcoming onto the show is Andrew Wade, the host of Locked On Hawkeyes, to talk to us about the state of this Iowa basketball program as we get into the final 2 weeks of the regular season. So Andrew, first and foremost, always a pleasure to see your face.
Yeah, man, it's always a great time to be on. Hoping I feel okay in the next couple hours after getting this vaccine. But right now I'm feeling great, ready to talk some Iowa basketball. And I just want to echo that I am a bit worried about Illinois. Their performance the last couple of weeks does scare me, although it gives me solace knowing that it took a little bit to beat Nebraska, and there are always lapses in their game occasionally. But when they're on, they're a tough team to beat, man.
Andrew Wade, we're not talking with you about Illinois, though. We're talking with you about the Iowa Hawkeyes. So let's get your perspective on what's working so well right now for Fran McCaffrey and company, because, like I mentioned, Iowa on a winning streak. They've won four straight games, three of those four wins by double digits. In your mind, Andrew Wade, what is working so well in Iowa City?
Defense. They're actually playing it. It's fun. It's fun to watch defense happen in Iowa City. Yeah, no, what a crazy concept. Yeah. It's bizarre. Believe me, I'm like, what is going on? So when they played Penn State, they allowed 41 in the first half, and that was a very typical defensive effort from Iowa. I don't get it. For some reason, they just stick in zone, and then Fran's like, yeah, we probably stayed in zone too long. Really? Have you not realized that 20 games in the season that when we play zone, everyone gets an open look? It's like, you get a three and you get a three. It's like Oprah shooting threes around for the other team. So like, it's a little bit frustrating in that regard, but they move back to man. And to be fair, even in man defense, Penn State did a really good job of designing plays that opened up players. And basically they're taking Luka Garza, bringing him to the perimeter. And then they would either have an easy look for a shot down the post, or they were getting an easy rebound because Penn State was, you know, crashing the board. So that was a bit concerning, kind of a blueprint there. But in the second half, Iowa really locked down defensively in man. And that's really been the key the last couple of games, is they've been playing a lot more man defense and doing a lot better. Yes, they are not an athletic team. Man defense is a great way to get them burnt by very athletic teams. But in zone, any team that can shoot the ball, and even the teams that can't shoot the ball, can shoot the ball against Iowa. So I'd rather let them get to the basket and have to get a redirected shot against a Luka Garza or a Jack Nungi. Or what we saw even yesterday or against Penn State was Jordan Bohannon was like, oh, I got beat. And he just fouled the guy because he had plenty of fouls to give. Don't let him get an easy run to the basket. Make him bring the ball out. You're not going to get beat, hopefully, the second time right away. So, yeah, I mean, man, defense has barely been the big difference. Then having CJ Frederick back, he looks healthy, scored 18 against Penn State. It goes to show you how big of a difference CJ Frederick can make in some of these games. And it's nice to see him play back-to-back games and play, I think, a collective almost 60 minutes. I think he played 59 minutes combined between the two games. I wasn't expecting him to play against Penn State because I figured you keep him healthy. If he's been kind of going every other game, you want him ready for Michigan. But the fact they played him against Penn State, to me, says that he's 95%. He's feeling darn good. So that's definitely exciting to see from an Iowa basketball perspective.
Iowa's defense, where it ranks in KenPom, up to 74th in defensive efficiency rankings. That, to my knowledge, is the highest the Iowa Hawkeyes have been throughout this Big Ten basketball season. And you are a pros pro, and this is why I love you on this podcast, because my next question was about CJ Frederick, who, you're right, played just shy of 59 minutes over the past two games against Wisconsin and Penn State, 28 minutes against the Nittany Lions. He scored 23 points in those two games, 9 of 14 from the field, zero turnovers, making that offense run even that more efficiently. How important is CJ Frederick for the Iowa Hawkeyes down this home stretch of Big Ten play?
I mean, I think it just goes to show what they've done the last couple of games with him in the lineup. And we're going to find out when they play Michigan and Ohio State, just how important he can be. Ohio State the last time not getting, CJ Frederick. That's tough. That's a tough, I don't think CJ Frederick played against Ohio State. If he did, he wasn't healthy.
I think he tried to go early on and then he was out within like 5 or 6 minutes of that first half, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that, I was like, I thought he might have played, but he didn't play very long. And when you get an unhealthy CJ, that's not going to really make as big of a difference. But what it does is it spaces out the floor better. So, and especially now with, and I want to talk about Connor McCaffrey, because when you have Connor McCaffrey, Joe Wieskamp, Jordan Bohannon, and CJ Frederick on the floor, you now should have an opportunity to get the ball into Luka Garza in single, you know, one person coverage, one man on him. I don't know why I'm talking football. One man on Luka Garza. And when that happens, Luka Garza should get an easy basket every time. Now the defense has an option. They can double team him. But whoever that double team comes from, Luka Garza can find the open guy. And when you have CJ Frederick on the floor, it's just another guy who can hit that three. And not saying Keegan Murray can't, but CJ Frederick's hitting three-pointers at a 50% clip. That's better than Keegan Murray. And now Connor McCaffrey's hitting three-point shots at a 33% clip. That's enough to make teams actually have to guard him at the perimeter. So when you have that, it allows Iowa to space out the floor. They do a fantastic job of passing the ball around the perimeter, getting it into Luka Garza. And Joe Wieskamp has shown an ability to drive more, be a willingness to drive more as of late. And CJ Frederick is also a guy who can attack the rim as well. So it just adds a different dynamic to the offense. And CJ Frederick, as you said, no turnovers. He hasn't turned the ball over since Gonzaga, I believe. Just an incredibly smart player on the court and probably one of Iowa's best on-ball defenders.
So from Illinois to Iowa we go. We know the Fighting Illini in action tonight, as we discussed with Brandon Simberg, the Illinois Fighting Illini on the road visiting East Lansing in Michigan State. As our friends at betonline.ag see it, the Illini, a 7-point road favorite as it stands at the moment, but not the only game of Big Ten basketball on this Tuesday night. We have another one, the nightcap, Nebraska and Penn State, the Huskers at home in Lincoln. They beat Penn State a couple weeks ago. They are 6-point home underdog tonight against the Nittany Lions. That, a very nice line from our friends at betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Nebraska in the final game of the Big Ten evening tonight, a 6-point road under or home underdog, rather. The over-under total, 141.5 against Penn State. The first game of the night, Illinois on the road in East Lansing. The Illini, a 7-point road favorite. The over-under total, 145.5. All of that coming from betonline.ag. So head there right now or use your mobile device and sign up for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. February is Black History Month, and the Locked On Podcast Network is honoring the challenges and success of Black men and women in sports with a new series called Locked On Presents More Than the Game. Right now, you can hear Candace Cooper of Locked On Tar Heels and Erica Ayala of Locked On Women's Basketball discuss the opportunities and challenges that come with being a Black woman in sports. Subscribe to the Locked On Presents podcast feed on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. Our state of the program about Iowa at this current moment, our closing thoughts with Andrew Wade and what lies ahead for the Iowa Hawkeyes, that rolls on. CJ Frederick said after the game on Sunday night against Penn State, he's actually feeling pretty good right now, too, as he's still trying to battle through some of these lower leg injuries. So speaking with Andrew Wade, the host of Locked On Hawkeyes, on this Iowa state of the program, we had Illinois in the first portion. We end out the show talking about the Iowa Hawkeyes on a 4-game winning streak. We're talking about the supporting staff around Luka Garza, but let's focus on Luka Garza because on Sunday, it was a historic day in Carver Hawkeye. Luka Garza becoming Iowa's all-time leading scorer. Any notion that you give to the idea that Luka Garza is not the Big Ten Player of the Year?
No. I'm sorry. Iowa Samoa is fantastic. He is going to be a better NBA prospect than Luka. The National Player of the Year Award, it doesn't matter. The Player of the Year Awards, because whoever gets the Big Ten Player of the Year Award is going to get the National Player of the Year Award, unless it's rigged again like last year. But whoever gets the player, he is phenomenal. He's going to be a great NBA player. I love watching him play. Luka Garza is the GOAT, and he is the best player this year. And Io might get a triple-double, but they're leaving him in during blowout games to pad his stats. That, to me, is just ridiculous. What Luka Garza brings this Iowa basketball squad, though, is just it's unparalleled anything any other team can do. Iowa is fantastic, but Illinois has a very athletic team. Trent Frazier can knock down – and you can say that about Iowa, too, but the stats don't lie. What Luka Garza has done game in and game out, Iota Sumo is not getting triple-teamed every time he touches the ball, right? I mean, you still have to deal with Kofi. That you got to triple team Kofi if you want to not, you know, let him score too many points in the post. So to me, Luka Garza does more with less than Iota Sumo does. I think when you look at the games, you just got to give it to Luka. It's not as flashy, it's not as pretty, but his body of work just speaks for itself.
I'm an unbiased observer to this whole argument, and I still say it's Luka Garza because I think Luka Garza's brilliance is what you saw on Sunday night against Penn State when he became the all-time leading scorer for Iowa, putting up 23 points and 11 rebounds, and you look at the box score and you're like, yeah, makes sense. And Io Desumu is incredible, and I think it's tough to compare them truly because one is an athletic guard, the other one is a big man that plays a great brand of basketball for the Big Ten Conference, so you can't really compare them.
An unathletic center.
I wasn't saying that. He's a gym rat. He works harder, right? I wasn't going to say that. But it's tough to compare their games and the style of the way they play, and I think both guys recognize that. But to me, it's Luka Garza time and again, Big Ten Player of the Year, National Player of the Year, the best player in all of college basketball. But I think over these final 2 weeks of the Big Ten regular season, the Big Ten tournament into March Madness, let's just appreciate both of these guys and that two of the best players in all of college basketball, however you slice it, playing the Big Ten Conference. So let's focus on what Iowa has ahead of them to finish off this regular season. It starts with third-ranked Michigan on Thursday night. What are Andrew Wade's early thoughts to that game against the Wolverines?
I mean, it's a crucial game, man. Iowa doesn't have a signature win. And if they want to get a double bye in the Big Ten tournament, they need to win one of these two games because Purdue has a much more manageable schedule. Their three games, they should be able to win all three, although Penn State's a tough matchup. Wisconsin's tough. You know, I get it. But Purdue has a more manageable schedule than Iowa does. They need to win against Michigan or Ohio State, and they need to close out the season with wins over Wisconsin, Nebraska. To me, this is a statement game, and Iowa doesn't have that statement win. I think Michigan is a phenomenal team. Don't get me wrong. They are an incredible team, and I'm very worried about them, but it all kind of runs through Hunter Dickinson, and I believe Luka Garza and Jack Nungey combined can handle Hunter Dickinson, and I believe offensively, Luka Garza, what he does is it's not an athletic thing, as we talked about. It's just superior intellect into what he should do, and against younger guys, trying to think of the right word to phrase there. I was going to say uneducated, but that's not what I meant. against younger players, inexperienced players, they cannot match up against a Luka Garza in that way. So to me, I think Iowa does have the ability to go into Michigan and win that game. And I think they're going to be motivated to do it as well, because they should have beat Illinois. They should have beat Ohio State. They shot terrible against Gonzaga. Every time they've had an opportunity, they've just blown it away. When does it all come together? I think it's against Michigan. If they have 4 days off between these games, they just got off a really tough game against Penn State. They got the Luka Garza, scoring record off the back, which clearly was impacting them in the Penn State game. So to me, I just think the non-tangible stuff is going to be very huge for Iowa coming into this game, and they realize how important it is for their fate of the season. They need it for a Big Ten tournament. They need it for seeding in the NCAA tournament. They need it for just momentum in general. It'll be a huge piece of the season.
To echo what you said right there, Iowa has 4 games left. It starts with Michigan on Thursday, then Ohio State on Sunday, Nebraska next week, and then Wisconsin to round out the regular season. As it stands right now, Iowa in 4th in the Big Ten League standings. That would give them a double bye for the conference tournament, but just one game behind them is Purdue, who only has 3 games left and a little bit of an easier slate. So a very important next 4 games for the Iowa Hawkeyes as they look to their postseason seeding. Giving you all that information, talking about CJ Frederick, putting to bed the idea that Io DeSumo is the Big Ten Player of the Year, all of it, Andrew Wade, the host of Locked On Hawkeyes. We appreciate his time, as we always do on this podcast. We wish him well. We wish him the best in his health as he got his second dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. We are very thankful for him. We're very delighted for him. Andrew Wade, always a pleasure.
I didn't know how to respond. That was actually uncomfortably nice, but thank you, Ben. Always a pleasure to be on the show.
So many thanks to both of my guests on this now twofer State of the Program Tuesday. Brandon Simberg of the Daily Illini talking all things Illinois. Andrew Wade, the host of Locked On Hawkeyes, talking all things Iowa. This has been the Tuesday show, which means that coming up tomorrow, another edition of Bracketology Wednesday. What has happened to some of the Big Ten teams on the bubble? We get the latest from our resident bracketologist, Kevin Sweeney, on tomorrow's Bracketology Wednesday. Only about 2.5 weeks left until Selection Sunday. So much happening in the Big Ten Conference. 2 final weeks of the regular season, the Big Ten Basketball Tournament, into Selection Sunday, into the NCAA Tournament once again. We get the latest updates in terms of bracketology with our resident bracketologist, Kevin Sweeney, on tomorrow's episode. But until we get to tomorrow, have a splendid Tuesday.